On this week's episode of Moral Victories, we talk about Drake blowing all that goodwill from putting out a couple bangers like Nice For What. We test Mike's knowledge of horses and rappers. He does and does surprisingly well. And we finally give the NHL playoffs the respect it deserves after hearing a little bit of heat from our listeners. Now, Mike, you know I need some Denny.
Sports. The thrill of victory.
If it doesn't fit, you must acquit.
The agony of defeat.
The Bears are who we thought they were.
Every loss teaches a lesson that's important for a young athlete's development.
I mean, I'm really disappointed in the progress that we've made.
But it's important to remember that sports is about having fun, not winning.
You're here for one goddamn specific reason.
What's that, Earl?
Jack us!
Ah, you're full of shit. Fuck you.
This is Moral Victories with Jared Shanker.
You really think I give a flying what the people on the radio call say?
Welcome to episode 3 of Moral Victories. Took a little bit of a break, almost 2 weeks between our last show. Yeah, we recorded on a Monday, and now it's recorded on Thursday. You guys are listening to it on Friday.
10 days.
Yeah, that's a good solid. Lots happened.
How you doing?
Yeah. We recorded on a Monday last time. We recorded on a Wednesday. I feel like now, recording on a weekend.
Look, if we have to
could see what Dougie Dash and what Mikey P got. You guys got some big plans this weekend?
Well, we have to just sneak in here every time, so... You know, it's not like
that is true. Nobody can know that we're actually loud in here.
Oh, you guys are—you're more than welcome to be in here. The question is, Doug is too busy getting hammered off Everclear margaritas at 5 o'clock in the afternoon.
Way before 5 o'clock. I think he started around noon today.
Yeah, it's a big day. Big day. I'm all right.
Yeah, you'll make it.
We'll get through.
You make it to the weekend.
We'll get through this. Who knows?
We'll see. You know what's this weekend?
Cinco de Mayo.
Tito's birthday.
Who's Tito?
That's my little dog.
Oh, happy birthday, Tito.
Yeah.
What kind of dog do you have, Jared?
He's a mini terrorist.
Mini terrorist?
Yeah.
Did I hear that right?
Yeah.
Oh.
Terrier.
Terrorist. He is a little savage, a lovable one.
Yeah.
All my friends love him. Doug? Well, so the story, it's actually also the 1 year anniversary from when Tito, bit his own tail off and then ate it.
Get out of here!
You're about to curse, and we're now a no cursing
podcast, which is going to be a hurdle. Let me tell you.
Yeah, but we'll make it through. So Tito, it's his birthday. He is adorable when he doesn't have parts of his tail hanging out of his mouth.
Of course, yeah, I think most dogs are.
Yeah, so we got big plans for his birthday party. I assume you guys will not be there.
Yeah, I wasn't even invited until the mics got cracked.
Nah.
So I don't think that they're
cracking mics today.
What do you got this weekend, Jared?
I think I'm actually going to go do some gambling,
okay. And
then kind of win. Either I'm going to win everything for this Vegas trip I'm going on in a week, or I'm going to lose everything and probably have to cancel.
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah, I mean, it seems like that's kind of how you play Vegas. You
know,
and somehow make your life better. That's like the 1% of people that go.
Yeah.
And then the rest of the 99 end up broke a VD.
Yeah.
Which is VD. What is this, the 80s?
I feel like that's...
I've never heard of venereal disease, and...
I like to cover all venereal diseases.
Yeah. Actually, that's a perfect segue. Not the VD part, but the Vegas part. Because we're going to... We took a little bit of flack from our few listeners that we didn't do enough hockey.
Sure.
So today... Wait, obviously, nobody can see.
I'm turning my mic off, folks. See you later.
How was that transition from VD to hockey?
Vegas. Golden Knights.
Oh, right.
That's pretty good, wasn't it?
Hey.
Yeah, not bad.
How you doing?
So I'm sitting here in my 1999 Phoenix Coyote Jeremy Roenick jersey. Vegas is tied 2-2. But I think the story is that it's already... The beauty is when a team that never loses... finally it starts winning like the Caps are, people automatically just start referring to this feels different. They give no actual explanation as to why the team might be winning. Like I heard Jim Rome just going, as I was kind of listening through Francesa
the
other day.
You still listen to Jim Rome?
It was a commercial during Francesa.
They do. It's like, this
and he
is
was
Jim
like,
Rome.
He was like, the Caps.
Terrible.
This feels different.
Booyah, ayo.
So, but they're up 2-1. They're playing against the Pens right now. It's 0-0. But even if they lose and they go back to Washington 2-2, like they have home ice. Ovechkin, I think he has like goals in four straight games. He's finally coming alive in the playoffs.
That game winner was it was sick.
It was one of the best
sick.
Goals.
It was sick.
We'll probably have to describe it for Mike. So
please do.
Yeah.
What's
so
a goal?
It was a. So they're tied 3-3, and Ovechkin is like streaking across the ice. And he gets a beautiful pass. He shoots it, and the goalie has to make a diving save. But the puck ricochets up in the air, so Ovechkin just like takes his stick like a baseball bat and just smacks it into the goal, 4-3, with a minute left in the game.
I mean,
Caps win. Now they're up 2-1 in the series, and the Penguins always eliminate the Caps. So Washington is like freaking out at this point because it finally looks like
they might get
over the hump and finally get to a conference finals. And then I don't even know who they would play. Probably Tampa or Boston, or they wouldn't probably. They play Tampa or Boston.
Yeah, because Ovechkin really. Let's put it this way: I know nothing about hockey, right? And the two people that I know in hockey, with other than three people, in the last maybe 15 years of hockey, I know Patrick Kane, and mostly because he's from Jersey, right?
No, I think he's from Buffalo.
Okay,
that's close.
Definitely from Buffalo.
That's an X on that
he,
one.
He got into a little bit of trouble up there. That's the only reason
why
I know.
Alleged.
Patrick Kane, I know him. I know Sidney Crosby, obviously.
Yeah.
And I know Alexander Ovechkin. Obviously, one's on the Penguins, one's on the Capitals. And now that you mentioned that the Capitals have never been to a Stanley Cup final under, you know, with Ovechkin being there, it's like one of those, it makes me think to like basketball terms, like what if somebody, like, because Ovechkin by all accounts is like LeBron-esque for hockey, right?
Yeah, pretty much.
He's like that good, right?
Yeah.
So what if somebody like
no.
You don't think so?
Well, he's more like who would be the scoring equivalent, because he's not a great defender. He's never on the power kill.
No, but maybe he's more like a Russell Westbrook.
Or even
no,
Kobe?
He's better than Russ.
All right, well, you have to take somebody who's never won a championship. So,
I don't know. But anyway.
Well, that's
but that screws up somebody's legacy is what I'm saying.
Yeah, I'm saying Ovi could always be the player who's just been fantastic and never got it done.
Yeah, I mean, that's clearly his. I don't want to say that's his legacy, but that's part of his legacy.
That's his MO right now.
I don't think in hockey, maybe because it doesn't have the attention that football gets, that it would dominate his legacy for somebody like Dan Marino or how it did for Peyton Manning at first.
Right.
But it would certainly become part of his legacy. And it's cool to see the Capitals kind of potentially get into a conference finals and have Ovechkin get there and then play a team like Vegas. Like, it would be so cool if Vegas gets into the finals.
The first year?
I mean, it's 2-2 in the series. And, you know, like, if you are a hockey purist and you look at the Western Conference finals teams, you're like, what is going on?
Yeah.
Vegas Golden Knights, the San Jose Sharks, the Nashville Predators, and the Winnipeg Jets.
And Preds were they won the President's Cup, right?
Yeah.
Did they not have most points?
Look at that. Dropping President's Cup's name. We are a hockey podcast.
I'm guessing.
Forget you guys that say we disrespected hockey.
I'm guessing right now.
We're dropping
now,
President's Cup's names. Get out of here with that.
And now, what is the President's Cup?
I think it just goes to the team
that
scores the most points in
the
regular season.
In the regular season.
It's just like, okay. It's like the best. It's just like the best team, more or less.
Yeah, I guess like you get like the home field advantage type thing.
See, even I'm learning by being in the room for this podcast.
Yeah.
I'll forget it immediately because hockey is...
it is. I do love playoff hockey. I know we had that conversation earlier about how everybody always says it's the best, but the playoffs have been really good. Like the Pens Cap series has been awesome. Vegas got killed yesterday, but I think they went into double overtime. Nashville, Winnipeg went into overtime.
Yeah.
So the NHL playoffs have lived up to everybody's Twitter.
I guess that's the important.
Everybody was accurate on Twitter this year that the hockey playoffs, in fact, were the best. Also going on right now, speaking of people whose legacy is always tied to championships, is LeBron, and the Cavs are looking like the best team in the East again. It took all of about 1 week. They tipped off at 6 today and are just killing the Raptors. I think they're up 20 with a minute left. They're gonna go 2-0 in the series on their way to Cleveland. Like they're going back to the NBA Finals.
They were plus 165.
That seemed like a very ridiculous thing that a LeBron-led team would be an underdog against a team that is known for choking and, of course, did that in game one when they had three chances to score with 10 seconds left and they did not do it.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that the one key factor is, because I mean, the Pacers played the Cavs so much harder. And the reason Toronto can't hang with the Cavs is, what do you think I'm going to say, Jared?
They're Canadian.
Drizzy?
Nope.
Drake?
No Lance Stephenson.
Ooh, because I did think that.
Listen, I can tell you 100%, the Pacers, there's no way that there was anybody on the Pacers that was actually going to be able to play good defense against the Cavs, against LeBron specifically. I think Toronto also doesn't have anybody that can defend LeBron at all. It's just a mismatch nightmare. There's nobody at the three that can guard him. But why is that different? Because the Pacers didn't have a guy, and neither did through the Raptors. It's because Lance legitimately was playing enough head games with LeBron James that he was flustering him, and it did work.
It's such a shame that Lance is gone.
I mean, he didn't play at all in that last game.
He legitimately
sat the bench the entire second half.
He was a factor in the series, though.
Absolutely.
But
as trying to mess with LeBron.
I had Mikey P's voice in my head as I was watching it, and I was just like, "Where is Lance this whole time?" He rode the bench, and I don't necessarily understand why.
You know who's getting hot at the right time though? Kyle Korver.
Kyle Korver is getting hot at the right time. Yeah, your top three. It's interesting. I guess it's the position where he would thrive, right? Crunch time?
Yeah, exactly. You're only going to miss, I think he wasn't shooting very well from three to start, but if you're Kyle Korver, you're a top three player in my book, so eventually you're going to turn it around.
That Cavs game just ended, and LeBron dropped 43, 14, and 8.
Jesus, man, so, that's insane.
He's got to be averaging
It's just so average for him.
He's got to be
Which is insane.
Yeah, that's
That's the insane part.
Yeah, but he's got to be averaging close to a triple-double, but his triple-double isn't like 20, 10, and 10. It's 40, 10, and 10.
Yeah.
When I took him 53.5 points, assists, and rebounds, I thought it was crazy. And then I was watching him, and I realized how crazy I was
for even thinking that it was crazy. Combine points, rebounds, and assists to get to 53.
To 53.5.
In a game seven.
It's crazy to think that anybody can beat him. It really is, because there's times where you like actually watch him. He's played deep into the playoffs for pretty much most of his career at this point.
Yeah.
15 years in, right? You'd say about 11 of those seasons, he's eight straight finals, right?
Something like that.
I think it's eight straight finals. So you're playing that deep into, like, he has the most experience out of anybody in the NBA in playoff situations, in clutch situations in the playoffs. And I know that this is like hot take territory, because you can't prove this at all. But when you watch him, he does have like another gear when either he's got to be the guy rushing the ball up the court to get the points. He usually comes through in that situation.
Yeah.
There's just a fire that you see that not everybody, like DeRozan doesn't necessarily have that.
Yeah.
He's not this guy that's just like, he's getting unstoppable right now. He's like a really good player who puts really good numbers together.
Of course.
But like Toronto doesn't have that like killer instinct at all. I just don't see, I mean, they're down 2-0-2 at this
except
point.
Except for Drake. Showcased his killer instinct by trying to take on Big Perk.
A little
positive spin, which I think is a brilliant move on Drake's part, is he's taken all of the attention off the Raptors now. Nobody's talking about the Raptors choking. If they're talking about Drake potentially
fighting Ken,
yeah, getting his butt whipped by Kendrick Perkins. In my mind, that's just a smart play on Drake's part.
Yeah, he is a master marketer.
Yeah, take all the attention off the Raptors. Yeah. Bring it on yourself.
I think I think Drake, like on Instagram, said something about like I was just mentioning the hem on his capris. I'm not sure, but I'm pretty sure that's where it started.
This is where Drake can't get out of his own way.
Exactly.
He drops like
exactly.
People have moved on from the Mamba jacket when Kobe disrespected him. They've moved on from him airballing that Kentucky shot. He drops God's Plan. He drops the Block Boy song, Look Alive. And everybody's, even Drake's biggest haters, they have to be like, man, Drake is actually killing it right now. And then he has to go and
be a bitch.
Yeah, we don't curse on this podcast.
That's not a curse. That's,
that's
a B
true.
Word.
That's true.
You can say it on Will and Grace. It's not a curse.
That is the standard. That is the FCC standard.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah, no, that's fair. All right, so from now on, if you can say it on Will and Grace, you can say it here.
All right.
So our listeners that complain, that feels like a good middle ground.
That's a good rule, right?
That's a good middle ground. But that really is like Drake can't get out of people. Even Drake's biggest haters are probably turning the corner on him, and then he has to go start a fight with Kendrick Perkins, and then I didn't see the Instagram post, but make some really not funny Instagram.
Well,
try to meme it.
Yeah,
He probably uses meme too.
The thing is, it's just like if anybody's gonna make fun of fashion of anybody, having it come from Drake is just a little.
Oh.
It just doesn't feel right.
Yeah. Because Drake wears some silly, ridiculous clothing.
I love to hate on Drake,
mm-hmm.
and I also am the first one to just be like, yo, this track is real hot,
yeah.
and I'm going to bump it on repeat.
I remember you
for a couple days in a row.
I remember right? you
and
said
I have
you guys
no,
playing.
I have no problem with that, but when somebody who's soft, which he is, I love him, but he's soft.
Sure.
And when he comes
what is
at
he?
Kendrick
he's the,
Perkins,
he's the lonely king.
When he comes at when he comes at Kendrick Perkins, like, let's be real. Kendrick Perkins looks like the bad guy from Jeepers Creepers, and he would smoke Drake. He would roll Drake up in a little joint and smoke him. Little Canadian maple leaf.
In a little dollar?
Done.
Yeah,
it just wouldn't even be a question. So
yeah,
I love Drake's. I love Drake's enthusiasm and his passion for the Raptors.
But you gotta agree, it's a great PR move on his.
Oh yeah,
nobody's talking about the Raptors collapse anymore.
No, they're talking about
Drizzy.
Drake's toughness.
But also, be fair, the Raptors
which are about the same.
Does Drake lack grit?
Yeah,
that's what people are talking about.
Yeah, can Aubrey handle the playoff heat? No, probably not.
That's a hot, but yeah, that's not even a hot take. That's a legitimate question.
Drake's out there on the sideline. He's like, Kendrick, I gotta be nice for what? I don't care.
Here's what I want to bring up, though. I think this is like a good segue.
Wheelchair
into...
Jimmy.
So Drake's getting involved with Kendrick Perkins, and I don't know. Did you see the video where James Harden's running out of the tunnel, and the Utah fan has a phone in his face and says, you're the biggest flopper in the NBA, and Harden slaps the guy's phone out of his hand.
I like that.
And then the security guards like try to get the guy away.
Are you sure this is Harden and not
Russ?
Russ?
No, Harden. I mean, Russ was talking.
I don't think the Rockets have played in Utah yet.
That doesn't mean that the guy can't be a Utah fan.
That's true. That's a good point.
That is a good counter point. But I will say this.
I have the video if you want to see
it. If you have a Utah fan sitting courtside in Houston, shame on you, Houston.
Mitt Romney.
Shame on
Mitt
you.
Romney's not taking losing the election too well lately. Just trying to fight James. I got to imagine he's the only Utah fan that could sit courtside in Houston.
He's not courtside. The dude is standing at the tunnel. Here, this is the video. So the dude's standing at the tunnel. Harden's coming out.
For all of you who can't see the video right now, I'm watching it. Yeah. It is actually in Houston, so I apologize for my skepticism.
Yeah, so Harden's coming out of the tunnel.
That's big of you.
The dude is standing behind the rope with the phone out like this, like provoking Harden. Yeah. The question is, at what point is the NBA supposed to step in and stop people from... Drake should not be... I know he's Drake.
They shouldn't.
He's super
NBA
famous.
And security shouldn't.
You think that they should just let people just get in?
No, I disagree.
Well, no, let me finish my thought.
Okay, go ahead, Jared.
But the fans have no protection. If you want to provoke Russell Westbrook, who's probably like 3% body fat at 225 pounds, Russ should be able to... He's not going to exert any actual energy to beat up whoever that Utah fan was. Let him one-hit quit this dude.
Yeah.
And let him just walk down the tunnel. Everybody would stop.
That's assault, brother.
Yeah.
No,
here's
no.
The thing.
You're allowed to do anything inside the confines of an arena. That's been proven.
No. I saw the Malice in the Palace.
There. Which, by the way, I showed my girlfriend for the first time because she loves Ron Artest. She's a Lakers. She's from L.A.
Yeah.
So she like saw Ron Artest on some like insane reality show, the way, you know, these like corporate people are trying to do Mike Tyson and Ron Artest and turn them into like playthings as opposed to like tough street guys, which is what they actually are.
Yeah.
So she was like, I love Meta World Peace. He's so cool. So I was like, have you seen this video of him punching this fan in the face? And she was mortified. She was way too young to remember that. She was like seven when that happened.
But the guy deserved it.
The guy did deserve it. But here's the thing. to your point, I am sort of I get you, and I kind of respect where you're coming from to think that, like, athletes, if you saw Russ on the street, you wouldn't get in his face, which was the point that he made.
Yeah.
When people were, like, playing, he's like, you wouldn't come up and do that to me if he was just standing in the street, so why should he be able to do it here? But the fact of the matter is, they do get in trouble with the association if they react to something like that and they actually get physical with somebody. So we've got to do one of two things. We've got to either separate these two entities and make it a lot harder for people to be able to touch James Harden and Westbrook and even someone like Kendrick Perkins. But at the same, or we have to go all in and just make it a rule to everybody, you know, basically feed the animals at your own risk.
Yeah.
Like, interact with these players as you please, because they might kick your ass.
Well, I mean, one of the most precious moments in NBA history was when that kid just walked onto the court and, like, went up to LeBron James or something. Didn't that happen? And then LeBron just, like, kind of patted him on the head?
Yeah, I think that did happen. I mean,
this had been, like, maybe like 10 years ago now, but I think a kid just walked onto the court.
You mean like Dusty Baker's kid when he ran out to home plate?
Same idea.
And JT Snow had to scoop him up in the middle of the World Series?
Yeah. Same idea. I feel like this happened. I don't know. My brain's pretty scrambled at this point, but.
But dude, some of the greatest sports moments are when there's people on the field. Like Hank Aaron hitting the home run, and you got people rounding the bases with him shaking his hand, but also that's terrifying for him.
It's wild to even think that could ever take place again.
That the Yankees used to win the World Series and people used to rush the field. Everybody would just be on the field at Yankee Stadium. It's crazy to think about, but like, I think that like I feel like baseball's way better at like keeping fans out of the game. Like, you can't...
There's, like, every 30 days somebody runs onto the field and gets tased.
But, I mean, just sort of between a basketball court is just you're right on top of
they are right top.
And you're so close. So, like, I don't think it's comparable. But to that fan and to the point of this whole conversation is, it's, like you said, it's kind of proceed to your own risk. Like, if a player's going to walk by you and you're going to mouth off...
No.
You know what? If you were on the street, be prepared to get hooked on.
Right. Like, totally.
I ride the subway every day, and there are a lot of people that I wouldn't say anything to because I don't want to deal with the consequences.
Yeah.
And I think that there's no difference there. You know, he's at his place of work, but regardless of where anybody works, if somebody said the things that he was being said to.
Yeah. I hear you.
Yeah,
I hear you.
Then the league's got to be. I think there should be consequences. I mean, Drake didn't actually do anything, but like in a situation like that, I think that it's. I don't think it's out of line for the
league.
Jose
Calderon saved him.
Yeah, Jose Calderon saved him. I just don't think it's out of line for the league to come down and be like, "Yo, all right, Drake, you cannot sit courtside for
$2.2 billion, Jose Calderon.
That's a real friend. He's like, I'm worth $2.2 billion, but I'm willing to get my.
How wild is that?
Yeah.
What is professional basketball his hobby?
Literally what it is. Literally what it is.
Day trader by day, professional basketball player by night.
That's how it works for him. This other story, even though it was a little while ago, I thought it was pretty crazy to see because nobody leaks information like always comes out of the NFL.
I thought it was funny. The White House.
Oh, I'm not into real politics. I don't really follow that. I actually kind of got into this. So, but it's funny. So there's the New York Times story about how a couple of the NFL players and the owners had a meeting about the anthem, kneeling during the anthem.
Mm-hmm.
They're not anthem protests. They're protests over things that aren't about the anthem.
Yeah.
But they've been kneeling during the anthem. And immediately at the beginning of the story, it's Roger Goodell telling people, all right, let's keep this confidential. And it wasn't even 6 months. And it started leaking immediately. But then the New York Times got a full tape of
the
recording
meeting?
Of what was said in there.
Oh man!
And I don't want to get into the kneeling stuff or the political stuff. My dad is an immigrant. He came over and
shout out Jay Shanker.
Yeah, shout out Jay. I wonder if he's listening. I think he wasn't happy.
He's not.
He wasn't happy about the cussing.
He never was.
That's why we implicated the Will and Grace rule.
Yeah. He'll be happy with the Will and Grace rule. I mean, my dad, I'm biracial. Like, my dad is an immigrant. I obviously.
You really are.
Yeah, I really am. Beautiful, beautiful Bruno Bars.
In a Coyote jersey, nonetheless.
AKA Bay Shank. Looking like a whole snack today.
You're in shape, too.
Like a chewy bar.
Yeah.
I am chewy. Like a $2 steak. But anyway, so I mean, you could assume where that I have that I certainly agree with a lot of the things that Colin Kaepernick has done. At the same time, I'm also half white, so when a Third Eye Blind song from a Jumper comes on, I'm singing the words to it. I'm singing the hook to
I would
Jumper.
I would like to take this time to say that I've known Jared Shanker for probably almost 20 years of my life, and he actually hates Third Eye Blind.
No.
Jenkins, if you're listening ever, don't be fooled.
Fake news. That's fake news. I don't hate Third Eye Blind. I hate
how many times
how much
have you gone
guys
to Third Eye Blind
love
concert?
Third Eye Blind. See, that's the thing.
Don't say you guys. I don't like Third Eye Blind either.
Oh no, I like Third Eye Blind. I'm not kidding when I say I'll sing if Jumper comes on.
Have you come to a concert with us?
No, because you guys are so weird about how much you love Third Eye Blind.
White people, man.
And you go exactly.
Okay,
that's what I'm trying to bring some culture. When are we going to go to Amigos concert?
I'm in for that.
You know I'm down.
Mike.
I'm down.
Takeoff. Is he a Kentucky Derby horse or a rapper?
He's a rapper.
Ooh.
I know rap. Music,
that's a.
Dude.
We'll get into this. Later in the show, we're going to test Mike's knowledge if he could. We're going to give him names of either rappers or Kentucky Derby horses and see if he can get it.
I'll be fine, but go ahead.
Mike's veins run just olive oil, just circulates his body.
Yeah, that's a good. Yeah. I can't really deny that at all.
Yeah. Extra virgin olive oil.
But go on. You're talking about the kneeling.
Yeah, and it's just, you see how, of course, you're going to expect the owners to, I mean, everybody operates in their own self-interest. So I don't necessarily blame the owners if they want the kneeling to stop, if they feel like it's hurting their product. But when you see the actual words that come out of their mouth, you could just see they're so out of touch. It's painful. Mm. Like Bob McNair, the owner of the Texans, telling the players, hey, you got to get your compadres to stop, fellas, so we can help you and do something productive together. Like, you know he doesn't mean it. No. And credit for the players to, I'm sure it was the players or the Players Association that releases this tape to kind of show just how out of touch some of these owners are and how they're really not, I don't want to, you know, cast a light on every single owner, but there's clearly a strong majority that would rather not actually help this issue and just get them to stop kneeling, as if that's really the reason why people have stopped watching the NFL, and it's not because it's become a torturous product at times. And there's just a lot other going on.
And on top of that, you just can't keep beating the last quarter, always.
Yeah.
There's the NFL is, I think, is the most corporate of any of the sports in just the way it's made up. It really runs like a corporation more blatantly than the other leagues, in my opinion.
Yeah.
I don't know if you guys feel the exact same way, but I don't feel like, even with the NBA putting, you know, the Goodyear stamp on the Cavs jerseys,
yeah.
I still don't feel like I'm being sold a product when I watch the NBA the way I am when I'm watching the NFL.
Agreed.
And the reason, one of the big reasons why is because these protests are kind of frowned upon by the owners is because the NFL receives a lot of money from the U.S. Army and the U.S. Armed Forces to, do all this, these flyovers, all this military stuff before the games.
Yeah.
There's funding for that. So if you have your players that are taking the knee before the game, that's really bad for business. And I feel like the NFL, which is run by these older white men, I think every owner in the NFL is a 65-year-old or older white man. Right?
Except for the Jaguars, Shad Khan.
Right.
Shout out, Persian brother.
Right. But everybody else is just pretty much, it's corporate America,
yeah.
defined pretty much. So if any of that stuff hurts the bottom line, they're going to look at all these players, white, black, protesting, not protesting, pretty much as their property.
Yeah.
And they're going to want them to do exactly as they say, because I pay your salary. But the cool thing about these protests, in my opinion, and this is like even beyond political, but it's a lot of these players saying, like, kiss my ass. I don't care if you pay me. I'm still doing this. I saved some money, I hope.
Have we confirmed that ASS is allowed on Will and Grace?
Yeah, ASS is allowed on Will and Grace. All this right. is NBC language, my friend.
Okay.
If I'm running a late night set, I can say ass.
All right.
That's all I'm going to tell you.
All right. That's fair. All right. Let's talk about people always are going to want to talk about. Let me try to get Doug back in here. He's a little hammered. His attention is waning at times. I think he's on Instagram right now.
No, I'm just looking at my fantasy baseball team.
Oh, you want to do fantasy 15 right now?
No, I don't.
Let's give him 15 seconds to talk about his fantasy team.
Are you ready?
All right. We're not going to do the full count We're gonna let you know when 10 seconds are up, and then you can go, Doug. Does that work?
No, but I just hope Jacob DeGrom.
Oh, all right, well, don't mess up the clock.
No, I'm done.
All right, the clock is at the 9.
No, that clock is broken, though. That clock is broken.
Oh, you could have had a lot of time.
Hey, see,
The clock in the room is broken. The second hand isn't moving.
Cracking 6 is in third place, and we're just going to keep it moving, all right?
All right, that sounds like 15 seconds.
Yeah, we're just kidding. Fantasy 15.
That was our best Fantasy 15.
Dunzo, over.
That was our best Fantasy 15 yet.
Yeah, we're 1-for-2.
By the way, though, I will say Justin Smoke is on the paternity leave today, and he had a doubleheader. I never allowed him to have sex with his wife. I didn't give him that okay.
As a fantasy owner, you pay his salary pretty much.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct. And looking back on it,
he's also weakening his legs.
Looking back on it, if his wife is giving birth today, that's probably an all-star break baby.
So you're okay with that?
No, I'm just saying I'm glad that I could pinpoint the time when they... No.
That's a responsible fantasy player.
Conceptualized. Yeah. Right. Oh, I'm into research.
I can see that.
I'm upset with myself that I
didn't know
this was coming.
Yeah, and you're going to lose a couple days?
Yeah, I just lost a doubleheader day.
This is not how you run a corporation, yeah. Doug.
All right, you far exceeded your fantasy 15.
I didn't want it to begin with.
Yeah, I know, and we should have never given it to you.
Thank you.
Oh, God.
We're retiring that segment.
No, it'll be back
until I win another championship.
We'll be off. We'll be way off the air before October. What are you talking about?
We really will.
All right. But I don't know if you guys saw this. It wasn't that weird that it would be in Jimmy G's contract that he isn't allowed to like do anything that might get him hurt. He's like one of the highest paid guys in the league now, if not the highest paid quarterback.
Yeah.
So it's going to be natural that his new contract's like no skiing, no skateboarding, no snowboarding, no ATV riding. That all seems
pretty
standard. I don't think he would do that to himself.
No?
Nah.
Damn.
I think like
you can't even live life.
He might just like wrap a couple like olive leaves and maybe some tobacco and olive leaves and do that.
Jimmy G, my man.
I think like part of his I don't think this like the Niners are going far enough. I don't know if you saw the lawsuit that the NFL cheerleaders brought on. Some of them have to they can't ever wear sweatpants in public.
Mm-hmm.
They always have to be dressed to the nines. They always have to have makeup on. They always have to be looking good, which is wrong.
But it's like working for Abercrombie, pretty much.
But I feel that maybe that should be. If I'm the 49ers, I'm putting the same restrictions on Jimmy G.
Yeah.
Jimmy. You don't change your pomade without asking us first. You don't go out in public without having your hair done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you didn't just sign a quarterback. You signed the face of the franchise.
You signed the best looking guy in the NFL, and if you're going to pay him $90 million,
of Gucci, and the potential face of Dolce and Gabbana. You need that guy to be elegant all the time.
I think Baker's now the best looking guy in the NFL.
Not better than, well,
Baker's the stallion.
Do you think he has any chance in Cleveland?
Oh no, I'm not saying he's gonna be successful.
No, that's what I'm hurt personally because
personally,
yeah, because I want Baker to succeed so bad, and I know he's got no shot in Cleveland. As good as the offensive skill players they've put around him,
mm-hmm.
Josh Gordon, Juice Landry, maybe Corey Clement eventually turns it on. I know he's been hurt the last couple years since his rookie year.
Corey Coleman?
What did I say? Corey Clement?
Yeah.
Yeah, Corey Coleman.
Okay.
Who else they got on that offense?
Njuku?
Yeah, the tight end that they took in the first round.
Do they have a running back,
or do they still have Isaiah Crowell?
No, they still have Duke Johnson.
He's solid. But either way, like he's got no chance.
Joe Thomas retired, but
why is it like a
the Browns are just so dysfunctional?
I think it's literally like you just put the uniform on.
It's a cultural thing.
Yeah, they should have drafted two quarterbacks because they can't mess them both up.
They should. Yeah, they should have went 1-4.
One of them's got. One of them's got to be 1-4.
Right. Yeah.
But
I mean,
we'll see.
I don't think that's anything on Baker.
No.
I think he's actually could be a really good quarterback. I want him with all my soul.
At some point, there's got to be the one. It's like somebody has to be Neo, right? Like,
I thought Austin Davis was going to be the one.
No, you never did.
Yeah, I did.
You never thought Austin Davis was going to be the one.
Jake DeLome?
Yeah, he's more the Jake one. DeLome.
Seneca Wallace?
Yeah. Brandon Whedon? Anybody.
You know who has... Was I talking about this with you? Oh, no, I was talking with this about another friend of ours who has some of the most starts in Browns history. I think number, like, the 10th most starts in Browns history.
Seneca Wallace?
Colt McCoy.
Ooh. No way.
He has the 10th most starts at quarterback for the Cleveland Browns.
Is it more than 10?
I think it was, like, 30 or something.
Colt McCoy?
It's wild, yeah.
Started that many games in Browns uniform?
Yeah.
Started that many games in the NFL?
Yeah.
I didn't even realize that. Here's something that I was thinking about the other day during the draft. Do you think that it winds up hurting the Browns more to have the first overall pick almost every single year?
No, because you should get the best player
sooner or later.
And if you do it right, you should have like five perennial Pro Bowlers.
As a Lions fan, I understand what it's like watching your team draft.
And you might draft a really good. You might draft a really good guy, and the culture is just so bad that they're never going to turn into anything.
That's what I'm thinking. I'm wondering if it's just like because every year they're just like, well, the Browns are going to wind up with the first round pick again, first overall pick again, because they're going to win one game at best. Does that just like does that weigh on the culture specifically?
On
the culture of the Browns, and then does that weigh on that first round pick to just go like, God, am I just gonna be another first overall Browns bust?
Like, you need a quarterback. You need the quarterback to change that culture. Like we as in the Lions took three wide receivers.
You've paid to be in Ford Field before, therefore you have part ownership.
Once a year, right.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So you get to say we.
But nothing changed.
You pay their salary.
Still nothing really has changed, but at least with Matt Stafford, it's like, okay, you have a chance to be good, right? Like, no matter who else you draft, you still need the quarterback.
Yeah.
The culture is the quarterback, more or less.
And, you know, what's weird is of those four quarterbacks that went.
I'm going to be so pissed.
I just have to pee, really.
Hold it. We'll be done soon. The clock will be done when the clock reaches 7 o'clock.
No, that clock's broken.
When the clock reaches 7 o'clock is when we finish.
Okay, perfect.
But of the, you know, what's wild, out of the four quarterbacks that went in the top 10, maybe Darnold has at least the Jets have at least the second best supporting system.
Do you think
the Bills are?
I don't know.
I don't know. Like
I mean, Bills were better last year than the Jets,
but when they didn't have Tyrod, Nathan Peterman was up there and they did terrible, and they replaced him with AJ McCarron.
Literally, the worst performance of a quarterback
in
the history of the NFL.
And they don't have a ton of weapons around him.
Five interceptions in 15 attempts?
Something like that.
Like, no exaggeration.
No, yeah.
Something that you and I could have done.
I could have
thrown four screen passes.
Are
you out of your mind?
Seven picks, bro.
I feel like I could have maybe thrown four. I would have just, I don't know, I probably would have got scared and just spiked it every time.
Oh.
Like, before the play.
Yeah, I would have fallen down.
I would have went water boy offense and just kneeled it, put my defense on the field.
Dude, that's got to be so horrifying to be a quarterback in the NFL getting rushed from the weak side, to just like have your back exposed like that and know you just could get crushed by Von Miller at any moment.
Well, that's what they're worried about. I wonder if this played a role in the Jets not taking Josh Rosen, is that Rosen had the two concussions. And it was weird. I really thought, like all those stories that came out that the Browns couldn't take Rosen. The Jets were going to have to take Rosen because there's a higher Jewish population in New York City. I'm surprised that didn't.
I'm surprised that didn't factor
into the Jets' selection at all. And of course, I mean, there's no real religious ties to Arizona where he's playing in the desert and in front of the Red Sea. There's no there's no religious ties that can be made there, so he'll be just fine. You all right, Doug?
Yeah, great Red Sea joke. I really, really appreciate
that's what they
it.
That's what they call their fan base.
I know. I never put two and two together until you just said that. And like, well, he wore the hat. Exactly. Now I'm going back through like the Rolodex of my brain, and I see him wearing the Red Sea hat, and I never put two and two together.
Do you think that he knew. I mean, he's so smart. He had.
I feel like he knew what he was doing.
No,
in biblical times.
Yeah.
No, Moses parted the Red Sea.
Yeah, it's definitely not the Dead Sea.
Yeah, you might be right.
He wouldn't know.
I'm a Jew.
Yeah, you're part Jewish.
Yeah, he's part of the Red Sea.
Yeah.
Are you really?
Yeah.
Was he the one that also led them into the desert?
Yeah. Yeah, he was.
All right. So he's got his legacy. He's like Ovechkin. His legacy is still a little
wishy-washy.
Yeah. Yeah, he's always going to have that. He's always going to have that, you know, kind of tagged against him.
Yeah, I know. But listen.
He led him to freedom.
As we know, Rosen back in Arizona, it's the desert is the place for the Jews. So he's back where he belongs.
I do think he's going to be really good.
I actually do, too. I was very bummed if the Jets didn't get him.
If he doesn't get hurt. And, you know, he gets concussion and, you know, that's his third concussion in maybe 2 years. At what point does he seem smart enough where he's like, I don't need football for my entire life.
Sure.
His family is well off. He's going to sign a big signing bonus. He's going to be fine after playing 1 year.
Yeah.
I could see the concerns of him not
fulfilling
his contract. But I think personally he could be the best quarterback, you know, when we look at it 10 years from now.
Yeah. And the other thing too is I just like him personally. I think I said it on the first episode about how similar he is to Aaron Rodgers, who is like an outspoken political. Yeah. Like I like an athlete who speaks his mind, especially one that appears to be pretty damn smart. I think the one issue though is, and it goes back to the business of this thing, the NFL is like without question the most Republican of any of these leagues, essentially, and he's in Arizona, which is, I mean, about as red of a state as it gets. He's a very liberal dude. If he's got a lot to say, which I know has been like kind of a through line for him, he's a college athlete who's like a major college athlete who's been like critical of Trump, which is a state that voted for Trump.
Yeah.
Do Arizona fans, are they going to get turned off by that? Even if he's a star.
It happened with the Spurs. Like I saw some story with they quoted fans that were upset with Pop because he's been vocal.
Liberal, because he's very liberal, yeah.
But no, I don't think it would end up being a huge deal. I think he's going to be really good. I think he'll win over the fan base there. If they even have any preconceived notions going in that they're holding against them, I think they're just going to be fine. I think the Cardinals are set up. I have no idea who their coach is.
Yeah.
Bruce Arians, so.
No, I thought he... No, because he might be a Monday Night Football guy before they settled on Jason Witten. Bruce Arians, I'm pretty sure, is not the coach. All right, we're going to actually fact check something right now.
There's one thing that we do know about Bruce Arians, and it's indisputable. He does dress like a old fat magician.
he knows magic for sure.
That was a career. He knows magic for sure.
No, it's a guy named Steve Wilkes. Bruce Arians retired.
I believe Steve Wilkes was either the offensive or defensive coordinator for the Cardinals before him.
Before Arians came in?
Well, no, meaning like when Arians was the head coach. Correct.
That would be fake news. He was the Panthers defensive coordinator. Close. Wait. Same division.
Hey.
You just got dugged.
No, same.
Dash. You got dashed.
Same conference.
That's a dash.
Same conference.
That's
not even division.
That's a gutter ball.
Yeah, it was.
That's a gutter ball from Dougie Dash.
Same conference, not division.
They used to be in the same division.
When?
They used to be in the Panthers, when they came into the league, they were in the NFC West.
Well, yeah.
Until
it was a joke anyway. Clearly, they're not in the same division. I was making fun of you that they were, you know, close geographically.
Pick on the drunk guy.
Oh, yeah.
That's always the perfect comeback.
Just go
Adam Sandler on him.
What comeback?
You can't touch me.
I have nothing to come back from.
I got nothing to come back from.
No, that's not how I said it.
Yeah, it sounded like it.
All right, what else you got here, Jared?
Right, anyway.
Let's wrap it up. So we're going to see if we promised Doug that we would do some derby talk. So we're just going to see if Mike can accurately pick rapper names or a horse.
How many are on that list?
I have 5 of each, but because you think you're
10.
Because you think you're down with the culture,
I'm getting 10.
I'm
to 10.
Going to I might throw in a couple names that you might not know.
Like some oddball. Okay.
All right. So you already got Takeoff as a rapper.
Yep.
Designer.
Designer's a rapper.
Okay. Extension.
Extension's a horse.
Actually, I think it's a rapper, but it's like XXX Extension.
Yeah, that was a trick question.
Sort of. What's the actual pronunciation on his name? Do you say all the X's? XXX Tension?
I don't know.
I don't know. I heard he's a bad boy, though.
I'm pretty sure he's trash. I hope he's listening. Yeah. I hope he ever listens to this.
So wait, what am I? I'm 2 for 3, right?
2 for 3, yeah.
2 for 3.
Ferenz Fire.
That's a horse.
Ooh.
Good work.
Yeah.
Could have been a hot rapper, though.
Yeah. Flame Away.
Could have been Dylon.
Fuck. I'm sorry.
Just bleep it out. You're the producer. Okay. You're just making more work for yourself.
I know. Flame Away?
Yeah.
That's a horse.
That's a horse.
That's a horse. I got 4.
Magnum Moon.
That's a horse.
That's a horse.
Yeah.
Tekashi 6ix9ine.
That's a rapper.
Yeah, come on.
Well, once he got Takeoff, I was like, he's gonna know Tekashi. He's gonna know. Post Malone sounds like a horse.
Is Post Malone on that list?
Yeah.
He's a rapper.
Yeah, but he sounds like a Post. Like
he looks like a horse.
That's why I thought I might have been able to trick you.
But do you know who the favorite horse is, and you just know it's not a rapper?
I did see who the favorite wasn't. It was a one word name.
Yeah. Mendelssohn.
Justify. Oh, no. I thought Justify was...
No, Mendelssohn has now moved into the...
As the favorite?
Thursday night?
Before post time?
Thursday night at 9:05 Eastern. It's now Mendelssohn. It's a Jewish doctor. It's far from a raptor.
All right, Mike, you actually did way better than I thought you were.
I told you.
Good Magic sounds like he could be a rapper too.
But to get into the ponies
and the combatant,
to truly get into the ponies, real quick, this is who I got.
All right,
Win, Play, Show. In a box. I got Mendelssohn.
That means whatever order, Doug. Doug's calling this whatever order, first, second, third.
Right. I got Mendelssohn. I got Justify. And I got Bolt Dior.
I didn't know how to say that last one when I saw it on the...
I just assume it's like hors d'oeuvre.
Hors d'oeuvres? Did you not know how to say hors d'oeuvres?
See how I did that?
Did you know how to say hors d'oeuvres?
Yeah, but it's not bold d'oeuvres, all right?
Oh, I get it now. I thought there was supposed to be a grand course in here.
No. The grand course, I believe, actually got hurt. Or something happened.
That's very on brand for the Gronkhorst to get hurt.
Too much
and academy. Miss some of the and miss maybe the biggest
had,
game.
Had a vertebrae issue. the difference between
there's going to be there's going to be a
horse.
Video.
Anytime a horse gets hurt, most times they just put it down.
Yeah,
and Gronk has been able to escape that.
There's going to be a leaked video of a horse this horse getting wild in
partying
the club
without a shirt on.
Yeah,
and then next thing you know, it's a bottle of Elmer's glue.
Yeah.
You know?
Is Rob a bad influence on the horse?
The dark horse, no pun intended, but also pun intended, is Hofsberg. Strong German horse.
It is a strong
out of Munich.
German horse. Is it really? Nah, but
how do you know?
Yeah, I don't.
Exactly.
All right. How do you know? How does anybody? I never understood this.
I know the horse's name. I don't know if it was born in Munich.
But no, I know that. But I'm saying, like, how you're picking your box. You're actually like putting money on these horses, and some horses.
Yeah,
are
I read an article.
No,
of somebody
you,
who
Doug,
I expect
I get,
to
yes,
be
I
better
get
than
yes,
me at
yes,
picking horses.
Yes, I get that. How do they pick actual horses though and figure out?
Because you go to the stables, odds. You smack the horse in the face,
and
you look at it in the face. You look at how it runs around. I was reading the
that's
prediction.
How the, that's how the Browns picked Baker Mayfield, they said. They looked him in the eye, and it's like, this guy just had a presence about him.
No, I read some of the predictions for the horses, and it was like, would love to see him run one more time. And I'm like, one more time?
Horse people are weird, man.
Yeah, they really are. Like, Bob Baffert, like, I need to know his life story. I need to read. If he doesn't have a...
How it happened?
If Bob Baffert doesn't have an autobiography... I'm going to commission him to write one before he dies because I need to know how somebody gets from
that
like,
into horses.
Being born to like number one horse trainer in the world.
Yeah, well, he's got a lot of victories.
Would you say they're moral victories?
You picked up on that. The chemistry is starting to build. So let's wrap up the show with...
But he also has a lot of just real victories.
Yeah, exactly.
Real bad boy victories.
So let's get into our... Permian Panthers, moral victories of the week. We don't have anybody on the unsponsored Nextel two-way phone line this week. No guest.
Unfortunately.
We'll get to it next week. Doug wants to get into something. We'll have to save it for next week. We ran a little bit long. I think it'll be funny, though. But all right, Dougie, Mr. Dash, give us your moral victory of the week.
I guess it's going to be me.
Doug forgot he's so drunk. He was giving it to the sports pope, Mike Francesa.
Oh, yeah, I was. Well, first of all, it's me. First of all, it's me for completing this hour of torture. And then after that, it's Mike Francesa for just having the ego on this man.
Yeah,
is something that I just truly envy and try to emulate in every day of my life.
And might I say, you do it pretty well.
Well, thank you. But so, for those of you who don't follow the sports pope quite as closely as I do, meaning you don't listen to sports talk radio in New York City, he just quit on December 16th and was, you know, pretty much called it a career and had a 2-year goodbye tour. And with little disregard for the people who took his place and or pretty much any sports talk radio guy, just was like, you know what? I overestimated my worth, and I'm going to come back.
Doug is so drunk.
And just came back.
Oh, my God.
Just immediately came back. And when he came back, he didn't even address it. He just said, I'm not going to get into that. We'll just take some calls on the Yankees. And just completely breezed over it.
It was a very Francesa move.
So shout out to Mike Francesa for just staying true to who he really is and just coming back.
I never said
in
I
the
retired.
Only way that he could by denying that he ever left.
That is peak Mike Francesa. He was back after this.
I was back.
Just like Jay-Z.
Mike, do you have
same
one this
situation.
Week?
Situation, I do, actually. My moral victory for the second time since we've done this podcast, second time in 3 podcasts, my moral victory is going to have to go to me because I stay taking L's. I'd get a moral victory for telling my girlfriend who was invited by
Mike
one
just
of-
likes to say on air that he has a girlfriend, I think.
Everybody knows. I have a hot Mexican princess that I live with. One of her friends.
Has she had her quinceañera yet?
Oh yeah, it was good. she was asked by her friend and her boyfriend if we wanted to go to the Belmont Stakes, knowing that I was gonna probably not have a fun time doing that. I said yes anyway, and then it turns out we're not just going to the Belmont Stakes like to tailgate and have a good time and then maybe watch the races from outside. I had to pay $70 to go to the Belmont Stakes. Now I'm gonna have to like buy drinks on top of that and gamble on the horses. I'm going to lose, I'd say, in the ballpark of about $200 to $300 on the Belmont Stakes, strictly because I wanted to make my girlfriend feel happy about being in New York and not being in Los Angeles.
Yeah, that does seem like a moral victory.
Yes, as somebody who's been to the Belmont, I can tell you that you're an idiot because I bought tickets in the parking lot for $5.
Yep. Yeah. That's what I figured we would be doing.
All right.
Somewhere along the line, look, I got a Venmo request for $70 to pay for my Belmont tickets, and I was like, that was money that I wasn't planning on losing.
Got
at that
the
time.
Venmo request.
Got the Venmo that request.
That is an L.
That's an L.
That's a couple you take.
Because I know, like, dude, this is the thing with like you date a girl that's 23 years old. She wants to have these life experiences, and I've done them already, and I know the things that are stupid that we're not going to have fun doing. This was one of them. I just got to do it. I got to suck it up. I got to take it. And, you know, we really tried out there, but at the end of the day, couldn't get it done.
Yeah. That's a moral victory. Mine is going to, my moral victory of the week is to Twitter account, I love Diggy, at Diggy1973. Now, this guy, he follows 3 accounts. He follows Diggy Simmons, Virginia Tech football, and another Virginia Tech football one. I don't know how many Virginia Tech football accounts this guy is.
Can I put Diggy Simmons, the Russell Simmons' kid?
Yes, that's the Diggy Simmons I guess he's trying to impersonate. But his entire profile and reason for his account is to just put all over the internet that one of the Virginia Tech assistant coaches has been sleeping with his wife.
Ah, yes.
So he found out that his wife was cheating on him with a Virginia Tech assistant coach while the assistant coach was on recruiting trips. So here I'm going to proceed to read a few of this guy's tweets. They're all aimed directly at Virginia Tech or the Virginia Tech coach. This one somehow...
He's tagging them, right?
Yeah, this somehow one looped in NFL Network, too. From I Love Diggy, Diggy 1973. While my father lay in bed from a massive heart attack, Coach G. Scott met my wife on May 5th, 2017, during a recruiting trip to have sex with my wife. Hashtag Hokies, hashtag never forget, hashtag never be the same. The Hokies, hashtag is hashtag hard, smart, tough, and in a reply to D'Angelo Hall, former famous Virginia Tech player, Diggy1973 asked, hey, was it hard, hashtag hard, smart, tough to sleep with my wife during recruiting trips?
I don't think it was that hard, honestly.
No, it doesn't sound like it was hard at all, which probably is part of the problem. But ultimately, it worked out because he caught the attention of Virginia Tech. He caught the attention of the assistant coach. He caught the attention of the school's athletic director. And the assistant coach actually had to resign because of this little scandal. And so the last tweet that my man put out was, I want to thank all the people who have reached out to me with encouraging words. I guess he appreciated the support that the Twitter world, which I would think would be so ruthless, actually showed him here.
Yeah.
But then he goes on to say there are no winners here, and that's where we disagree. This guy undoubtedly deserves a moral victory for getting somebody fired. Justly, 100%. So, Permian Panther moral victory goes to Diggy 1973. That is our...
I need to switch on my moral victory.
All right, make it quick.
Remembered. I will. It goes to Matt Barnes because I just remembered that Derek Fisher just married Matt Barnes' ex-wife. The guy who came into the house and just punched Derek Fisher out in the face, he stuck with it, and he ended up marrying Matt Barnes' ex-wife.
I actually respect Derek. I respect Same. Derek Fisher a Same. Lot for
so
doing that.
There's a lot of winners there.
Yeah.
It's one, Derek Fisher for sticking with it.
Yeah, that's not a moral victory. That's legit.
No, that's a moral victory for Matt Barnes. You know, you lost the girl, but you punched him in the face.
That is true. Yeah, you're right.
With that,
yeah, we'll end
take
on
us
a,
away.
Let's end on a positive note. That is our show, episode 4. Coming sometime next week, probably
like 3.5. Really?
Yeah, we'll see. we'll do the new tagline of the show is we'll fix it. We'll get it fixed.
Bye.
We'll get it fixed.